Larato, thank you very much for your kind introduction. Let me also thank the president of the African Development Bank, my good friend and brother, Dr. Adesina, and his team for the invitation to meet and other distinguished African citizens to join you this afternoon. I'm happy to be part of the quest to find solutions to the agricultural challenge that faces Africa, but which we can transform into a multi-million dollar opportunity for our continent and for our youth especially. Distinguished governors of the AFDB, Meshes, Patel, and Silberhorn, members of the panel, Osakwe, Ohanwusi, Muliganya, and all who are constituting the panel today to discuss the issue of youth in agriculture. I wish to thank President Adesina and the board for your kind invitation to share a few thoughts. As an African leader who just left office, one of the most frustrating growth statistics for me was the statistics on agriculture. Other sectors have been clipping along at quite a fast pace. And in Ghana, the service sector overtook agriculture as the largest contributor to GDP in the year 2010. Services now account for some 54.1% of GDP, and agriculture stands at 19.0%. While this is normal for a modernizing economy, agriculture and agribusiness still represent the sector that can soak up the pressure we are all feeling from the rapidly expanding African youth bulge. I felt cool when I noticed I had been requested to make a statement on the theme, Agriculture is Cool, Engaging Africa's Youth. The bane of African agriculture is the disinterest of our educated young people in the sector. The perception of most is that agriculture is backbreaking, dirty work, and is meant for the aged and illiterate rural populations. This is a great pity because agriculture is a science. It is no longer a way of life. It is a business. Africa needs its educated youth who can understand the principles of increased agricultural productivity to participate in the sector. If you put in the right factors of agricultural production, labor, good seed, good soil, water, sunshine, plant nutrients, right weed and pest control, you will achieve the same result on every education, abundant food production. To achieve that, we have to make agriculture cool. And it's not the cool our generation is familiar with. For the youth or the millennials, cool is not the absence of heat. It can mean good. It can mean pleasant. It can mean elegant. It can mean fashionable. It can mean delicious. And many other things, depending on the context in which they use it. Learning to communicate with this millennial group is a whole subject in itself. For our generation, cool is the antonym for heat. Something is cool when it's not hot. If my father should resurrect today, he'll be totally flabbergasted in his communication with his grandchildren. For my son, when he says, Dad, your jacket is cool, he means my jacket is fashionable or nice. But he can also hit you with this one, Dad, you're looking hot. It doesn't mean I'm sweating. Cool, hot. He might be eating hot food and say, Dad, this food is cool. It means the food is delicious. You don't need to offer to heat it in the microwave for him. Or my younger son falls off his bike and I ask with concern, JC, are you hurt? No, Dad, I'm cool. It means I'm not hurt. Or I'm going out for a walk. I'll be back soon. The answer cool simply means okay. And for my daughter Farida, have you done your homework? I'm cool. It simply means yes, I've done it. In the context in which we are speaking, I believe cool means attractive. How do we make farming attractive for the young people of Africa? That's what we're talking about today. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever cool means to this generation, that is what we need in African agriculture. It is cool we're having this conversation at this time. At the same time, it is sad we're having it at a critical time when the world is grappling with climate change, in addition to other pressing issues that require urgent global attention. Africa has the youngest population in the world. This represents huge opportunities for the continent and the world if we act promptly in engaging these young people. If we do not do so in good time, and fashion out effective, sustainable programs to engage and put these vibrant, creative young people to work, we could be having a major social problem on our hands, a potentially explosive situation with dire consequences reaching beyond Africa. But working together, ladies and gentlemen, we can address this menacing continental threat. We have an opportunity to channel the unused and boundless energies of our youth into productive agricultural ventures for the benefit of individual families and the continent of Africa and the world at large. Let us agree, though, that for many young people, agriculture is not their preferred career or business option. This is widely due to the perception that agriculture is not financially rewarding enough, and it is not youth-friendly, and as I said earlier, it is not cool enough. These perceptions and views can change and are changing through various interventions we are undertaking on the continent. For many years, the agricultural landscape in Africa was characterized by small-sized peasant farmers engaged in subsistence farming, basically geared towards feeding their families and providing just enough to exchange for such items as salt, cloth, and fish, and whatever they could not grow on their farms. Mistakes have been made in the past, and it is pleasing to note that lessons have been learned from these mistakes. In Ghana, the dislocation of medium to large-scale commercial agriculture occurred in the 1980s, and the blame can be laid squarely at the doorsteps of the international financial institutions. As a young man growing up at the time, and I remember that the Economic Recovery Program, which was one of the longest structural adjustment programs we implemented, specified that subsidies on all social services, including agriculture, must be withdrawn. And so subsidies that we granted to farmers for fertilizers and other agricultural inputs were withdrawn. The poor African farmer was abandoned to compete with the highly subsidized Western farmer. And this is such a pity, because if we intended at the time to reduce poverty, then that was the segment of the population we should have been assisting through subsidies. But we withdrew them, large and medium-scale agriculture collapsed, peasant farmers were left to continue their subsistence agriculture. As a result of this, in my country, by the late 2000s, imports of agricultural products and food for six commodities had gone as high as $1.5 billion per annum. And these were rice, tomato, oil, sugar, fish, and poultry. $1.5 billion worth of imports a year. I remember we went to the migration summit in Valletta, and Europe agreed to provide $3 billion to 26 African countries from where a lot of the young migrants were trying to cross the Mediterranean. And I told the European leaders, I said, look, if I could reduce my food imports by $1.5 billion, I don't need your $3 billion to stop my young people from crossing the Sahara and trying to cross the Mediterranean. And so there is a huge potential in agriculture, both for providing food and for creating jobs. But we must also look at changing tastes. Staple foods in Africa are being abandoned for foods that were not traditionally grown in our continent. In Ghana, we have made significant progress in the production of tuber crops, huge production of cassava, huge production of yams, huge production of potatoes, huge production of sorghum, guinea corn, millet, plantain, and all the foods that we used to eat before. But those tastes are changing because of rapid urbanization. 53% of our population today lives in urban areas, and 47% in rural areas. And because of the exigencies of urban existence, foods like rice and chicken have become the standard fare. And consumption of yam and potatoes and cassava and other things are beginning to decline. And so how do we change our production so that we're able to meet the increasing demand for other foods that are becoming fashionable? In Ghana, agricultural contribution to GDP averaged 6.54 billion Ghana cedis from between 2006 and hit 7.8 billion Ghana cedis in 2016. The problem is that this pace of growth is not fast enough. Africa is a continent in a hurry when it comes to agriculture. And the good news is that with the right factors in place, agriculture is a lucrative business for anybody to invest in. With more than enough arable lands, improved seedlings and livestock breeds, and assured support of institutions like the African Development Bank and our individual governments, it's among the next phase of business on the continent that can attract and absorb many young people. I've met a number of promising young farmers, both in and out of Ghana, and from my interactions with them, they are not only thriving, but growing their businesses. My father was a farmer and was among the first to begin large-scale private commercial agriculture in Ghana. But I must say, he and others like him would not have succeeded without the massive support they were given by the government of Ghana at the time. Visiting the farm with my father as a young boy, I learned to plow the rice fields, to use various kinds of mechanized agricultural equipment. And I still continue to farm. Only last Saturday and Thursday before that, I visited my farm, and I'm consciously building that interest in my children as well. I want to pass on that tradition to my children. We must leave Ahmedabad with a determination to deepen our collaboration to present agriculture as a lucrative venture for our teeming youth population. I remain excited and quite certain that properly packaged, the concept of agripreneurship, the new cool, will be well received and embraced by our young people. Can you imagine the extent of impact that millions of young Africans in agriculture will make in the world's fight for food security? Ladies and gentlemen, we have the future in our hands. We can mold the kind of tomorrow we want today by serving as mentors, advisors, and promoters of young people in agricultural development. I wish to commend President Adesina and the Board of African Development Bank for making increased agricultural productivity in Africa one of the priorities on the bank's agenda. We must enhance the collaboration between the bank and African governments and enhance assistance to young farmers to make agriculture an integral part of national policy and planning. In Ghana, we've employed various strategies in addressing, first, the lack of interest in agriculture, while gradually eradicating barriers to success by young people in this sector. First, we started the Youth in Agriculture program, which is a platform for young people graduating from our colleges to work on our state farms and learn modern techniques such as the use of greenhouses, the production of local or exotic crops, and other modern techniques. This, we believe, will and has actually enabled these young graduates to learn a few more skills, generate interest that will get them in the long run to choose agriculture as a means of providing an income and becoming successful individuals. The new government that has taken over is continuing with the program in a rebranded form, and that should see a lot more youth supported and the concept of cooperatives enhanced to increase participation and sustain the interest of the youth. In the twilight of my administration in November 2016, I introduced the concept of farmer service centers. And this was based on experience I had, that farmers do not need the tractors and the planters. What they need is the service of those equipment. In the past, what we've done, thinking we were modernizing and mechanizing agriculture, and I think that was a shot in the dark, it was a mistake, and people should learn from our mistake, was to procure the tractors, subsidize them, and give them to the farmers. But we find out that the farmers cannot maintain the tractors. They don't have knowledge in how to keep those tractors running. And so in 2-3 years, brand new tractors you provided are all broken down and standing on stones. And so we need to introduce specialization. And that's why we came up with the concept of farmer service centers, where the agricultural equipment will be placed, the planters, the plows, the harrows, and everything. And all the farmer needs to do is go and register and get the service. That's it. And the business of maintaining the equipment is completely that of the farmer service center. And so that was an experience we learned, which we have started to implement. I hope the new government will continue with that project so that farmers can receive service as and when they need it. In Ghana, as in other African countries, our land tenure system is a major drawback for young people wanting to go into agriculture. Acquiring land for agricultural investments can be a hellish experience. And I give you just one example. Government wanted to set up a major rice growing facility. And so we decided to acquire 3,000 hectares for this project. We, in trying to acquire the land, dealt with 1,700 families to be able to acquire 3,000 hectares of land. And even after you had settled with 1,700 families, others of the family came and, you know, instituted legal action against government over the same 3,000 acres of land that had been paid for. And the arguments would often be, oh, the one you dealt with is not a member of the family. He was a slave who was brought by his great-grandfathers from somewhere, and he's not a true member of the family. And so you shouldn't have dealt with him, you should have dealt with us. And so in some cases, you find yourself paying multiple times for the same amount of land. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing, I'll just give you three examples of some success stories we had. We set up the Export Development and Agricultural Investment Fund. At first, it was EDIF, Export Development and Investment Fund, and it was largely meant to promote exports. But then I tweaked it and made Parliament change the bill and make it the Export Development and Agricultural Investment Fund, because we realized that it would be a good instrument for promoting young people in agriculture. And so this fund has been providing assistance to people who want to invest in agriculture. It is based on a levy on all imports. We put a levy on every import into Ghana, and it goes into a fund, and that fund is used to finance agriculture. Gameli Farms is located in the northern region of Ghana. It's owned and controlled by a young Ghanaian who at the time he started was about 34 years old. He had a total of 500 acres, but due to inadequate resources, he started by cultivating only 15 acres of this land. With support of Edith to the tune of approximately $15,000 in 2012, he was able to dig a borehole, install a small localized irrigation system, and expand his mango farm from 15 acres to approximately 60 acres. He intercrops this mango farm with maize and has expanded his production of maize to cover another 40 acres, bringing his total production to about 100 acres. Gameli, this young farmer has a master's degree in social policy and only started farming after a short stint in the UK where he worked with the local government sector. He plans to expand his production to cover the entire 500 acres that he owns. Kwame Boama of Inshira Fruit Enterprise is located at Ansawam in the Eastern Region and is also a young man, less than 30 years of age. Before he got assistance from EDIF, his total land cultivation was approximately 20 acres. After funding to the tune of about $50,000, he has increased his acreage under cultivation to 94 acres. The financial assistance he received has also allowed him to purchase a juice processing machine, with which he now processes his pineapple produce from the farm into fruit juice for sale. The other advantage he's got was that he was introduced to a new variety of pineapple that is in high demand in Europe, and he's considering increasing his acreage in order to be able to service that market. The third and final example is the Flowing Streams Enterprise, located at Panta in the Greater Accra region. The owner of this farm was also struggling, a young man, due to lack of financial resources, and also the external shocks caused by the dumping of chicken products on our local market. He received assistance in the form of technical and financial support valued at about $37,500, and he was able to expand his farm from the previous 2,000 bed capacity to a 10,000 bed capacity farm. The expectation is that gradually he'll be assisted to increase to over 100,000 beds in the medium to long term. Ladies and gentlemen, these examples show how governments can partner young people who have decided to engage in farming. We believe that by helping these farmers to succeed, we will sustain their interest and increase the number of young people who will be attracted to come into agriculture. EDIF has now been converted into the Ghana Exim. And like I said, it was focused on export development alone, but now has become a major source of funding for agricultural investment. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we have not fully and deliberately considered is the development of technologies to meet the needs of agricultural farmers and workers who are physically challenged. I also believe that African states have a duty to play not only as regulators, but as key stakeholders involved at every stage of the agricultural production process. This means that scientific research needs to be conducted on the entire agricultural value chain, from securing the most fertile land, determining the best produce for the land, true to value addition of the harvested product, and securing fair marketing and trade amongst international trade partners. I thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you very much.